Romans chapter number 2 this evening. As we continue to go through our series, when it comes to the book of Galatians, we come to this spot where we're finishing the confrontation Paul had with Peter, a couple of great verses. Some of you may even know this one verse by memory. It's a powerful verse, and it teaches us how we can live the Christian life. Have you ever felt like you couldn't live the Christian life the way you thought God wanted you to? I mean, let's be honest. When God says, you know, forgive others. I mean, some of us feel like we just can't do that. What about loving our enemies? Praying for them that despitefully use us and persecute us? I don't know about you, but I don't always feel like praying for those that despitefully use me or persecute me. Many times in my own anger, I want to get back at them. But according to what the Bible says, that God desires to live Christ's life through us. And tonight, when we look at this passage of Scripture, it gives us some of the keys, on how to live a victorious Christian life. And it's not us living it, it's God living Christ's life through us. And tonight, when we look at these things, I really be honest with you, if we take the principles we learned tonight and help us understand our position as a believer, that we can have the power to live a Christian life that is Christ living through us, and us becoming more like Jesus Christ. And in these verses, it teaches us a little bit about this. Now let's go back and let's remind you where we're at. Apostle, we're going through the book of Galatians on Wednesday night. Paul began these churches. Paul went out, was sent out by the church of Antioch with Barnabas. He went on these missionary journeys. As he was going on this missionary journey in this one area, the area of Galatia, he began at least 4 or 5 different churches. At these churches, these places, he was persecuted. At these places, at one of them, he was stoned. At one of these, he was praised as a god, then later on was persecuted. You know, over and over, Paul got into place, saw people saved, discipled the people, began churches, placed ministers or preachers there or pastors there in these churches. Pretty much they did not have any light until Paul came on the scene. And here, as these churches are beginning, Paul then heads off to another area. He heads back to Jerusalem, or he heads back to the church of Antioch. And what happened was people would come in behind him, and these Judaizers would come in, and they would begin to question the authority of Paul. They would begin to question the testimony of Paul. They would begin to pervert the things that Paul had taught. And Paul here writes this epistle or this letter back to these churches of Galatia, and he's teaching them and he's preaching to them through his word, saying that if any man preach another gospel, let him be accursed. He's condemning what these Judaizers are doing. And now we see in chapter 1 and chapter number 2, first through his personal testimony, he says, look, I'm a servant of Jesus Christ, or apostle of Jesus Christ, by God. No man called me to do this. It was God. And then he begins to talk about his testimony. Then he begins to tell about how the Lord himself taught him this gospel in Arabia. Then he begins to talk about this council that him and Barnabas and Titus had gone to, and how he went to the great church of Jerusalem and talked to the pillars or the heads of this church, and they all offered the right hand of fellowship. They all agreed with what Apostle Paul was doing, and that these Judaizers were making up these lies. And what they were trying to get the churches of Galatia to do was to go and serve under the law of Moses. They were saying faith in God was not enough, but you had to also serve under the law of Moses. You had to live under this law, or you could not be saved. And Paul is condemning that. Paul is writing this. And the last thing that we see in this testimony, we see a confrontation between Peter and Paul. Peter comes to the church of Antioch, and this is many years beforehand, and he worships with the Gentiles. He eats with the Gentiles. He goes to the Gentiles' house. He's serving with the Gentiles, and then some group comes from the church in Jerusalem, a group from James. And when he sees them come, he leaves the Gentiles and begins to act the way that these Judaizers are acting. And you know what? Paul calls him on it. And we spent the last 2 weeks looking at the confrontation that Peter and Paul had, how Paul was telling him in front of everyone all these truths. Now we're ending this confrontation. And I'd like you to see how Paul ends this conversation. This confrontation, once again, put yourself here. There's a large group of believers. Peter has gotten up and left the Gentiles. He has done wrong. Paul is correcting him in front of everyone. And he is ending this by saying, look, not only can you not merit enough favor? Not only can you not be justified in your flesh, he's saying you can't even live the Christian life in your flesh. He's saying you can't even live unto God in your own strength. And that's what Paul was teaching him. Peter is making the mistake. He's trying to force himself, people back underneath the law and recognizing what these Jews are doing. And Paul's saying he's not going to have it. He's not going to have it in this church that he helped to rise up. And that's what he's writing to these churches in Galatia. He's saying to these churches, he says, "Not let me tell you what happened when me and Peter talked about this face to face." Let's look here in verse number 19, and we'll see where we finished up. Once again, this is Paul confronting Peter. He says, "I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God." And that's the title of tonight's message, is Living Unto God. In verse number 20, he says, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain." Now, if you want to really learn how to live the Christian life, these verses give us a good foundation of how we can live the Christian life. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer and ask the Lord's help. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, you know just as better than any of us that we can't do anything on our own. Lord, we need to hear from you. Lord, I thank you for your word. Thank you for the truths that we find. Lord, help us look in this verse and help us to focus on what it's trying to teach us. What Paul is explaining to Peter is the same thing that all of us must learn if we want to live a productive and fruitful Christian life. Lord, help us to see it's not us or our strength or our power or anything we can work up, but Lord, it's instead of Christ living in us that we are able to do things. Lord, speak to people's hearts. Help us to revolutionize their thinking when it comes to our Christian walk. Help us to grab a hold of the power that lives within us. And Lord, not live according to what our flesh wants, but instead by faith, Lord. Speak to people's hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. First thing I want you to see is I want you to see the believer's position. The believer's position. The Christian life is designed to be a life of unity and union with Christ because we are in Christ. We share his death and resurrection. In Christ, the enthronement of self ends. Now you see, Pastor, he says, "I am crucified with Christ." This is speaking of our past position. Before we were saved, self was on the throne. Sin was what we all had to do. We were only living for ourselves. We could not live for God. And in Romans chapter 6, and actually let's take our Bibles and go back to Romans chapter number 6. And I'll show you where the Bible says here that we are crucified with Christ in Galatians chapter number 2, verse 20. But in Romans chapter 6, it gives us a little bit more commentary. See, Paul had tried to find life by keeping and work and doing the works of the law. But we learned last week, in the law, he only found death. Paul found life when he came through Jesus Christ's death for the payment of sin. Sometimes the law, something the law could never do. You think about this phrase, "I am crucified." This is in the perfect tense. This refers to a once and for all action that never needs to be repeated. Some people say, "I'm living the crucified life." Well, that's just not true. Once you actually get saved, the Bible says you've been crucified with Christ. It is a once and done action. Paul got this understanding. Paul was saying, "I was crucified when Jesus was crucified, and that crucifixion was a one time for all time experience. I was crucified and I stand crucified." What does this mean? This means when you are saved, that when Jesus died on his cross, you died with him. That the wages of sin were forever paid in full, and that a believer does not need to fear death. We have already experienced it with Jesus, and no longer does death or sin have a power over us. We, in the cross, we utterly become estranged from our former habits, our feelings, and our action. We actually had the ability to reckon ourselves dead to sin, self, and carnal tendencies, and live in the power of the resurrection. Now, what does that all mean? That means that when you were saved, then no longer do you have to serve your flesh. No longer do you have to serve self. You look here in Romans chapter 6 and verse number 11. It says, "Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. What the Bible is saying here is that in our past possession, we used to have to serve sin. But now we are dead to sin, and we can be alive unto God. Look what it says in verse number 3. It says, "Know ye not that so many of us as are baptized into Jesus Christ are baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection." Verse number 6, "Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin." This is a wonderful picture, and this is where you're getting at. I am crucified with Christ. The Apostle Paul is saying, hey, look, when Jesus Christ died, I was my old flesh, my old self was crucified with him. No longer do I have to serve sin. No longer do I have to serve self. The Bible says at the end of verse number 6 that henceforth we should not serve sin. But see, that's our old position. What is our new position? What is Paul saying to Peter? He says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Now, Pastor, how can you be dead and also live at the same time? Well, the Bible is teaching us that it's as Christ died and then he also rose from the dead. The Bible says that we also have been risen from the dead, and talking about our flesh, that we can walk in newness of life. Look what it says in verse number 5. Actually, verse number 4. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Now, Paul, Apostle Paul, when he says, I am crucified with Christ, that's talking about a perfect tense. Now, when he says, nevertheless, I live, this is talking about a present tense. This is saying, right now I live. Yes, we died with Jesus, but faith in him have raised us up from the death of sin, and he has made us to live eternally. The Bible says that when we get saved, we have been crucified, our self, our flesh has been crucified on the cross, but now we are risen up to walk in newness of life. We have a new life to live. And this is what Paul is teaching to Peter. Paul is saying, not only could you not justify yourself by going back underneath the law, because in no flesh can be justified before God. He is saying that not only can you not earn salvation, but you can't even walk the Christian life without God's help. He says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Paul claims, nevertheless, I live. Paul was alive, yet he was not alive in himself, but he was alive in Christ. Paul realized that he was now a man alive unto God and would be controlled and influenced and directed by him. Paul does not emphasize obeying the law. He reckons himself dead to the law, but alive unto Christ. See, a dead man does not obey the law. He's dead. A dead man does not battle with the world. He is dead. A dead man is not controlled by sin. He is dead. That flesh is dead. And it's the newness of life that we have through Jesus Christ. See, that's our position. Before we serve self, before we serve sin. That's what Paul is telling Peter. Look, way back when we thought we were under the law and we had to live according to that law brought us to death. But when we were crucified with Christ on that cross, we are alive today. And we are alive unto God. Can you imagine Paul putting his arm around Peter saying, hey, look, we are alive today to live unto God. And you keep on, go back to Galatians chapter number 2. You see the next phrase. It says, Galatians chapter number 2 says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. So we see the believer's power. So first of all, we saw his position, what we used to be, our past position, but in our present position, in our future position, we are alive in Jesus Christ. We have died to the flesh. We have died to self. You're the pastor. Boy, it doesn't feel like it. Those sins I have, those things I struggle with, that pull of the flesh, it is real. It is evident. And we're going to see that here in a second. Yes, it is. But we can reckon ourselves dead. When we were crucified to flesh, we have been given a freedom to where we choose whether or not we want to let that flesh rule and reign in our life. You can have victory. That Christian life that God talks about and speaks about in his words, it can be attained. Walking like Jesus Christ is something that you can accomplish. It's not just something that you can say is a dream. It's something that the Lord says can be a present possession of yours. But how did Paul get to it? He says, I was crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I. Here's the first thing. Your power is not in yourself. It's yet not I. It's not through the flesh. The Bible says in John 15:5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. What the Bible is saying there is that you cannot do this on your own. Many people say the Christian life is about getting saved and just holding on, getting saved and doing what I can in my own flesh and my own strength. They've missed the whole point. It is what Jesus Christ can do through us. It's what we allow Jesus Christ to do in our hearts and life. It's Jesus Christ that lives inside of us that does anything for God and for the work of God. The life which I live now in the flesh, I live. Look what it says here in this verse. He's saying the life in verse number 20, he says, the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith. He's not saying that my flesh is living it out anymore. No longer is myself in control. No longer do I have power. Instead of going through this life, living according to what I think is right, living according to what I think is best, living according to what I am pleased with, because that's what the rest of the world is doing. If they're not living for God, they're living according underneath a code of sin. They have no other choice but to serve sin. They have no other choice but to live for sin. And they are choosing to do the things that is right in their own eyes, and they are living for their flesh. But the Apostle Paul says, not I. He says, the life that I live in the flesh, not by the flesh, in this flesh, the body that we have, the flesh that we have, that gives us those desires, that flesh that comes and gives us those yearnings to do what's wrong in the flesh. He says, I live by faith. He says, no longer do I live. And that's the point is, it's not in ourselves. It's nothing about you. It's about Jesus Christ in us. And that's the second idea of it's a believer's power. It's not through self. It's Christ that liveth in me. It's but in Christ. A true Christian life is not so much a believer living for Christ as Christ living through the believer. Let me say that again. A Christian life is not so much a believer living for Christ as Christ living through the believer. It's when Jesus Christ and his Spirit has control of our life, and he controls and directs as we yield our members, and he lives through us. It's not about what we can accomplish in our own power, in our own strength, in our own tenacity, with our own mind, with our own talents, with our own abilities. You go back and you see the Peters, and you see the James and the Johns, the ignorant fishermen. How in the world did they ever confound the Roman Empire, confound the Jews and the religious leaders? They had spent time with Jesus. It wasn't them and themselves preaching and teaching. It was God through them coming in their Christian lives. And this is where it is an important characteristic or important trait that we must realize. It's not how much we can hold on to. It's how much we're willing to let go so God can take control. Jesus died on the cross to save you from sin, but he lives in you to save you from yourself. Jesus died on the cross to save you from sin, but he lives inside of you to save you from yourself. Because yourself is, it's wicked. There's nothing good in it. The Bible says that. You say, Pastor, I don't like when you talk like that. It's found in the Bible. It says that you're a servant of sin and disobedience, you're a servant of the devil, or you're a servant of Christ. You're doing one or two things with your members. Which one are you? Say, Pastor, you make things so cut and dry. Can it be one way or another? You cannot please the flesh and please the Spirit at the same time. It's impossible. They war against one another. They both have a completely different opinion on every single subject. The devil wants you to go one way and God wants you to go another way. And that's what the Bible is saying. It is not about me. He says, it's not through my flesh. It's Christ that lives in me is where my strength is. And that's what the Apostle Paul is saying. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Not I. He's saying, not me. He said, don't look at me. Not I, but Christ liveth in me. This is where our power comes from, is when we let the Holy Spirit of God, Christ's Spirit, God's Spirit, live through us. That's when we can have victory. We get in the way too much and so often. And Colossians 1:27 puts it this way. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's Jesus Christ in you that gives us any hope of doing something for God. We cannot do things on our own. This is exactly the reason why we got to have a clean life and a holy life. If we're expecting to do anything for God and have sin in our hearts and sin reigning in our lives, we can just say, hey, it might be good in the world's eyes and it might seem like we're helping out here or there, but the Bible says, without me, you can do nothing. And if without Jesus Christ living through us, we're not going to accomplish anything for him. We all love to say that verse, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. But, you know, so often we like to think we can do all things, or at least some things, but we're missing the whole point with that verse says, through Christ, which strengthens me. It's not just because we're saved. God's going to give us the opportunity to do spectacular and amazing things. So many times Christians get this idea, hey, I'm a Christian. I'm on my way to heaven. God's going to use me to do something powerful. No, it's when we allow Christ to strengthen us. It's when we empty us of ourselves and let the Holy Spirit of God work and live in us. That's when the life that Christ can do all things through. Think what it says in Ephesians 3:17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye be rooted and grounded in love. Christ can dwell in your hearts, but it becomes by faith. Jesus didn't just come into the sinner's life and save him and change him forever. He also moves into a person's heart, giving them the power within to live like him. If you're saved here today, if you have repented of your sins and cried out to God, Christ liveth in you. That is your hope. That is the hope of the world. It's not based off of the next generation. It's Christ living through the next generation. It's not how much schooling you can get. It's not how many Bible verses you can memorize, even though I think that's a good thing. Not how many church services you can go to. Not how many hungry people you can feed. Not any of these good works. It's what Christ can do through you. That's why we must lay down our arms and say, God, I can't do it on my own. God, what is it you want me to do? That is when we become a open vessel for Christ to work through. So often we go and do the things that we think is right and best and just expect God to bless. But it's when we say, God, you live in me. Show me what you want me to do. In your word, teach me. Through the preaching, encourage me. Instruct me. Lead me, guide me. But we are so strong on our own feelings, and we sought so much to be self-made people that we forget so often that it's Christ that lives in us that makes all the world a difference. What is it in your heart and life that you got a hold of today that you're saying, I don't know why God is not blessing. I don't understand why God. Are you allowing Christ to work in your heart and life? Or you allow Christ to work through you? Because it's not as much about what the believer can do or the believer living for God. It's more about what Christ can do in the believer's life as you allow him to. There's an illustration that old theologians like to use when it comes to this idea of Christ triumphing benefits. Think about this. Imagine a city under siege. The enemy that surrounds the city will not let anyone or anything leave. Supplies are running low and the citizens are fearful. But in the dark of night, a spy sneaks through the enemy lines. He has rushed to the city to tell the people that in another place, the main enemy forces have been defeated. The leaders have already surrendered. They have been defeated, never to regain strength. The people in the city that's being besieged do not need to be afraid. It's only a matter of time until the besieging troops receive the news and lay down their weapons. And this is similar in the fact that it may seem now to be surrounded by the forces of evil, disease, injustice, oppression, and death. But the truth is the enemy has actually been defeated at Calvary. Things are not the way they seem to be. And it's only a matter of time until it becomes clear to all that are in the battle, the battle is really over. See, that's when the Bible says we do not fight against flesh and blood. We fight against the principalities. We fight against ourselves and the idea that all those wickedness in high places that we struggle against. But it's Christ that lives in you. That's the source of power. Are you letting Jesus Christ live in your life? Are you letting him have control and saying, here's my body, here's my life, Lord, take and use it in whatever way you want? Third thing I want you to see, not only is it the believer's position, the believer's power, but the believer's persuasion. You say, Why in the world would I ever want to do this? Why are you persuaded to do this? Look there, first of all, we're persuaded to live by faith. Live by faith. Go back to that little phrase we talked a little bit about earlier. The life which I now live in the flesh. This is us. This is who we are. If we're believers, we're Christians, we've been crucified with Christ on the cross, and now we are required to spend the rest of our years and the rest of our days out living our lives in the flesh. This is it. But here's the choice. Are we going to live according to the flesh like we did all the years before we were saved? Or are we going to live according to the Christ that lives in us? So here's the difference is, if I'm going to live according to the flesh, hey, I'm in the flesh. If I'm going to live according to the flesh, I'm not going to change anything. Yeah, I might spruce up a thing here or two that I know I needed to work on anyway. But living by faith means that I'm going to look in the Bible, and whatever the Bible says, I'm going to believe and I'm going to agree with, and that's how I'm going to live. I'm going to live by the prompting and the leadership of the Christ that lives inside of me instead of living according to the flesh. We've lived according to the flesh for so long that living a spirit-filled life seems odd. We get considered crazy by our friends and our family, even by other church members. People look at us and shake their heads and say, what is that person doing? It's not going to make sense to anybody that's living according to the flesh. Can even be a Christian that's living according to the flesh. It's not going to make sense. It's not you living it, though. It's Christ who lives inside of you who is living out this life. It's not about me. It's not about what I think. It's about what Christ wants in us. The Bible says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. And look what it says. It says, which I now live in the flesh. And that's what we all have to do. We live in the flesh. I live by the faith of the Son of God. You know, the Lord often allows us to endure affliction and adversities. You know, sometimes he just wants to develop our faith. He wants to see what the Bible says for, are we walking by faith or are we walking by sight? Because the Bible says on more than one occasion, it says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We don't enjoy the times when hardships come. We don't enjoy its problems. We would never choose them for ourselves. But the Lord many times will use these hardships and adversities in our life to strengthen us, to develop our faith, and to deepen our hunger for him. If we just let Christ live through us, then each and every day when we go across something, it's not us that has to deal with it. It's God. That's what faith is, resting every part of ourselves on him and says, okay, Lord, you told me to forgive. Okay, Lord, you told me to be kind and tenderhearted. Okay, Lord, you told me to love my wife. You told me to submit to my husband. You told me to tithe. You told me to tell somebody else about Jesus Christ. You told me to do this. You told me to do that. That's what faith is. I'm living in the flesh. The flesh is saying no. The flesh is saying I don't want to do it. The flesh is saying, hey, that doesn't make sense. But that's what Paul's saying. I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. But it's not me that's doing the living. It's not me that is living this life. It's the Christ, it's God in me that is living. And even though I might be in the flesh, even though you might see fingers and toes and skin, it's Christ living in me, and I am living by faith. Just, I look like everybody else. But the difference is I'm not living according to the flesh. I live by the faith of the Son of God. So Hudson Taylor once said, many Christians estimate difficulties in the light of their own resources, and thus attempt little and often fail in the little they attempt. Let me read that again. Many Christians estimate difficulties in the light of their own resources, and thus attempt little and often fail in the little they attempt. All of God's giants have been weak men or women who did great things for God because they reckoned on his power and presence with them. What makes a difference is when we're going through something, if we're allowing Christ to live in us, Christ is the one handling the situation. It is not us. It is Christ living through us. And that's the point. With me, if I got a bill that says that I owe $10,000, you know what? I don't got means to pay that bill. But if it's Christ that's living through me, well, he owns the cattle on the thousand hills, right? He knows the gold. He knows where it's at, too. He owns it all. And it's Christ that lives in us. So what is the believer's persuasion? Why is it that we're persuaded? By faith. That if it's Christ living in me, I'm going to walk by faith. I'm not going to walk by sight. I'm going to let Jesus Christ live his life through my body. And that's what the Bible's talking about here. Next phrase is, not only are we persuaded by faith, but we're persuaded to live because of his love. Because of his love. Paul said he lived by faith into the Son of God. And look at this next phrase. Who loved me and gave himself. Gave himself for me. Now, I mean, what else do we need? And the Bible talks so much about how much he loves us. When we consider his love for us, how can we not live by faith? Now let's forget about the fact that it's Christ that lives in us. He's promised to take care of us. He's promised us the faith. He's promised. Let's forget all about that. And just look at it from the picture that he loved us. Doesn't matter that he lives in us and that he's trying to work something out of us. We should live for him because he loved us. I was sitting there talking to someone whose dad was going through a hard trial, probably getting ready to pass away soon. And they began to say, I don't understand why God allows these things to happen. And I said to him, I says, I don't understand everything, but I know that God loves you. I know that God loves your dad. God loves your mom. God loves everybody. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. That God, it's not that at all. It's God. And I began to tell him that, you know what? Death came because of sin. I says, not because of one of your father's sins or because of one of your sins. So death comes because of the sin in the garden, and death has been passed down from generation to generation. And I hope he understood this, and I hope you understand this. God loves you. He gave himself for you. And when he is saying that you've been crucified with him and that you're not supposed to live, that Christ is supposed to live through you, it's out of a love, knowing that it's the best for you. Think about what the Bible says. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Nothing is going to separate us from the love of God. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor death, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now here it is. Is Christ living in you? Yes, he is. Now, are you trying to live the Christian life? Or are you trying to allow Christ to live his life through you? Yes, he does live in you. But are you allowing him to live his life out in your life? How do you do that? First, we reckon ourselves dead. First, we reckon ourselves dead to the flesh and say, even though I live in this flesh, I'm going to walk according to my faith in God and allow God to do a work in my heart and my life. Now, let's look real quick at verse number 21. We spent all that time in verse 20. Just want to show you one quick thing and we'll be done. I do not frustrate the grace of God. Now, this word in the Greek is referring to, he does not nullify, he does not void the Greek, the grace of God. For if righteousness has come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. And all at the end it comes down to is the question. It all boils down to this. Is it by law or is it by grace? We are saved either by keeping the law, according to what the Bible says. No man, no flesh, no one can do that. Or we live by grace, or saved by grace. We either live by the law, or some system of effort or self-work, or by the grace of God. And if the law could be an instrument of salvation, if anyone could have done it on their own, why would a God send his son down to die for us? If anyone could have fulfilled the law in their own strength and their own power, then Jesus Christ wouldn't have had to die. And then it would have been up to you. But because you couldn't, Christ had to die. And that's what Paul is telling Peter here. Then Christ is dead in vain. He says, if living the law is going to save you, then Jesus Christ did not have to die at all. And I'm sure you can imagine Paul saying this to Peter in front of this large group of people, helping him to understand how foolish it is to try to take these Gentiles and put them underneath the law that we said last week did not save a person. Had it for 1,500 years and no Israelite was justified by the law. But one person came and fulfilled the law, which was Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to get this and understand this. It is a key to living unto God. It's the fact that you're not living the life on your own. It's Christ living his life through you. And that's what the Bible says. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Christian, if you want to really live a victorious Christian life, it's got to stop being about us, about what we can do, what we want, what we desire, and start being about who lives inside of us. And allow us God to work in our life so much that all the people see is Christ that lives in us. That's why the Bible says that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which in heaven. You know, when you do something great and wonderful, they're not going to praise you because they know you. They know your flesh. They know you could not do that in yourself. But it's the God who lives inside of you. If you're a Christian tonight, you have a great power. God lives in you. And you can live that Christian life that we think evades us so easily. We are crucified. Yes, but we still live in this flesh, but by the faith of the Son of God. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet.